Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Third World Network show, The Writing Mama. This is your host, Virginia S. Grenier. And before I jump into today's show, I just need to cover some of our upcoming shows for this week. So Marsha Casper Cook will not be doing a show on Tuesday, which is a good story is a good story. She is going to be taking vacation pretty much for the rest of this month and through December. But if something comes up that changes, she may do a show, like a special holiday show. But basically, just for those who do tune in on Tuesday for Marsha's show, A Good Story is a Good Story, there aren't any planned shows until close to the new year. And then I know R.J. Jeffries on The Right Step as well is on vacation. I think he does have one show planned in December, but other than that, there won't be any more of those shows on Wednesday. And Fran Lewis will be around on Thursday doing her show, A Book Discussion. You can tune into that show at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah. Wait. Actually, it looks like that one isn't this time. This one is going to be at 10 a.m. Eastern Time this coming Thursday, so that's a time change that's happening this week. But typically it's at 4 p.m. Eastern. But this Thursday, the book discussion show with Fran Lewis will be at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So definitely tune into that. If you are into crime and adventure thrillers, you'll want to tune into that show because she will have a few authors who will be on talking about their novels that are in that genre. And then Bennett Pomerantz on this coming Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time is doing a special World of Ink show for his Anything But Loose. It will be basically what's considered Cyber Monday. So even though it's on Saturday, he will have guests popping in. There's 35 authors that will be coming in to quickly discuss their books and just kind of promote them really quick as books that would be great gifts for the holiday season. So that will be this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And then I'm not sure if Cassandra Dane with The Cutting Edge will be scheduling any shows through December because I know she'll be going on vacation. And same with Willow Cross with The Paranormal Hour. They will also she's also going to be going on vacation as well. So it happens during the holidays. But, of course, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network. And catch any of our shows as podcasts. So you can, and then of course, Blog Talk rotates out our different featured shows, so you can always see what shows are featured as well through Blog Talk Radio that are past shows that you can listen to. So if you did miss a show, you can always catch past shows that way. And then just quickly, I do want to give thanks to Scott Dreskel and Coffee Town Press, who is sponsoring the show here at World of Ink Network. Coffeetown Press just released Better You Go Home by Scott Dreskel. It's his debut novel about a Seattle man who visits the Czech Republic. It is a mystery thriller adventure novel. So if you're into that, definitely check out Better You Go Home. And so those are all the announcements for right now. So today we have another children's author joining us. We have Richard McEwen joining us, and he has a debut children's book out called The Adventures of Sir Buddy, and Mr. Pupples, it's P-U-P-P-L-E-S, The Rescue, and it's a children's picture book that's very, very cute. So welcome to the show, Richard. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Virginia. I appreciate you having me on board.
No, it's great. And you're also doing a, which starts this week actually, a virtual tour for your picture book as well. So you will have throughout the rest of November all the way to Christmas interviews and book reviews and spotlights as well on you and your book. So you're going to be a busy man.
Yeah, I'm a busy man anyway. This is amazing. Starting, writing my first book. What it involves. It turns out, I think, writing the book is the easiest part.
It's all the
other
marketing
end
and publishing,
marketing,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what got you into writing, children's books? Because a lot of people are focused, most people focus on novel writing or even like young adult, novel books. They don't...
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't jump into the picture book realm anymore. I mean, that's, unfortunately, I mean, there are authors who write picture books, but there are authors who have been writing picture books for years and years and years. So when we get a new children's picture book author, it's exciting because it just seems to be a market that doesn't seem to get a lot of newness, I guess, in it.
Well, I guess what started was the antics of our dogs. Who were both foster dogs. And I got thinking about that and thought, wouldn't that be interesting to write about these two guys and kind of base it around, at least introduce children to fostering.
Mm-hmm.
And also part of that was the fact that I have four grandchildren and they absolutely love books. Obviously, at this point, they're all four and under picture books.
Mm.
So that's probably what moved me to do this, those two things.
Now, obviously, this isn't, your first career because you're a new debut author into the children's book realm. So have you been writing before publishing this book, like in any other, articles or in any other, different category of the writing world, or this has been
completely came out of the blue. I had my wife and I had moved to North Carolina a year ago, May.
Mm-hmm.
And I had retired. I still keep my finger in real estate. I have a few clients in Virginia that I go back and work with, but mostly it's I'm here, semi-retired, mostly retired, so I just started doing projects. And I think when spring came, my good Lord said, okay, you've wasted enough time, do something. And I don't know, it literally came out of the blue that to do this. And I sat down, I wrote one, and then I decided, well, one's probably not enough, so then I wrote a second one, and then I wrote a third one. So...
got bit by the writing bug.
I don't know. Pardon me.
And so the writing bug bit you, correct?
Yeah. And then where we live, there's so many things going on, especially historically. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe that's the path I take. So many things to do that I want to also educate in these books for the kids. They're not only fun because it's two dogs, but also that they learn something or reinforce what they've already learned.
Right, right. Well, and I've read, obviously, your picture book, The Adventures of Sir Buddy and Mr. Pupples, and I love it because it is about, rescuing Mr. Pupples. And you do go through, even though it's from, which I love, you did a great job, it's from the dog's perspective the whole time. But, you call the owner, the mom, she's referred to as mom in the book, and you talk about how she helps find lost dogs and the steps that she takes to find them homes if they don't have, to either find their home and if they don't have a home, to get them into a home, into a loving
mm-hmm.
home, which I think is so great because I know you know, like where I live, we have an animal shelter that's a no-kill animal shelter. But a lot of places aren't, you know, there's not a lot of places like that that are no-kill animal shelters. I mean, most animals end up in a shelter, and after so long, if they don't get adopted, you know, unfortunately, they,
yep.
their lives come to an end, which is so sad. And I
yep.
and I know there's a lot of rescue groups that have started because of that being such a huge problem. So I love that you're educating kids in a way to, you know, be aware that there's these animals out there to... they need homes because, you know, a lot of people think go to the pet store and buy, you know, buy an animal or get them from a breeder, you know, which is great if you're going to, I don't know, have you ever done dog shows or anything like that or no?
No. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, cause I know, yeah, and I know with the breeder you need to do that if you are going to do the dog show realm. I actually had a dog that did the agility training. I used to do agility shows on Akita many years ago, but you know, unless you have a dog that's in that, you know, you're going to go in that kind of a realm. I mean, there's so many great animals out there. We actually just adopted a cat from our neighborhood that their parent, the family moved away and left the cat behind. And so we ended up, we ended up feeding
yep.
it because we felt so bad, and now it's our cat. We've inherited
oh,
a
yeah.
cat for that reason. Now, your wife, Christy, was a huge inspiration for the book. Was she the one who helped motivate you to write the story, or how did that come about?
No, well, I guess indirectly, because she's been picking up stray animals for I don't know how many decades and, you know, finding homes for them. And in Virginia, there was an organization there called the Animal Welfare League. And she got involved in that in fostering. That's where it really first started as far as the fostering is concerned. So by default, I got involved in fostering. And then, you know, we would work trying to find a home, which she was very good at that, finding homes for the dogs. Plus the organization also would look for homes, advertise in the newspaper, that type of thing.
Right.
So it and it was fun. I mean, we had all kinds of animals go through that, go through our dog pen. And plus, we had animals. So, and there was never a problem. They always seemed to get along. It was interesting. It's almost like our dogs, you know, knew they were coming in and staying for a short while. Hopefully,
right.
There wasn't any animosity or anything. I mean, they didn't fight. It was good. It was very good. We periodically would have a hound that would clear the fence. And one of them, we got a call at 2:00 in the morning about 5 miles away and said, I think we have your dog. I went to pick him up and there he was in the person's home, lying on the couch, very comfortable.
Yeah. now, I know.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Unfortunately, what?
Fortunately, we were able to find a home for this guy. There were a lot of in that area because there were a lot of hunters. You know, it was all open country. We had a lot of hunting dogs and beagles in particular. They would just leave them. I guess the end of the season, or they didn't work any longer. I don't know, but there were a lot of them.
So sad.
Which was sad. Yeah, very sad. But fortunately,
yeah.
we, you know, got them placed.
That's good. And your author photo on the back of your book, and of course the one we have up, which is the same one we have up for the show today, you're in the picture with your two dogs, right? And they're
yes.
Buddy and River, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now, one of them... I was going to say, one of them looks like it's a golden retriever. Is the other one as well? Because it looks smaller.
There's a story in that. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah, I would love to hear it because they're so pretty. They are beautiful dogs.
thank you. The bigger dog is Buddy, and he is Sir Buddy in the book.
Mm.
And the little one, River, is my wife started calling him Puppy at one point, and then she changed to Pupples. sister Pupples. So those are the two actual two characters in the book. So there is truth in it, you know, and there is untruth in the book. But it's based on two true characters. And River, his mother was a rescue dog. My foster dog, she's well rescued too. My wife found the dog running alongside the highway, picked it up, tried to find a home for, I mean, not a home, but tried to find the owner, knocking on doors, going to the post office, just like it says in the book. I mean, she followed all that she normally does. Went to the vets to see if they had any record of the dog. It was mostly a dachshund. And she brought the dog home and we started to look for a home for it. And 2 weeks later, that little dog dropped 8 puppies.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And River, alias Mr. Pupples, was one of those puppies. And so we ended up keeping him.
No.
And that's how he came about. And he, 4 of the puppies looked like the mother, short-haired dachshund. And the other 4 were 4 fluff balls. And so we figured there might have been 2 fathers. and River turned out that way. And he looks nothing like his puppy picture, which is amazing. My wife calls him an apartment size golden.
Yeah, like, because he's, you know, he's a golden color and he's long fur, so I went, I kept looking, going, what kind of dog is that? And of course your arms over him too, so you can't totally see his whole body, which makes it harder to identify. But that's okay. I have a schnauzer, and my schnauzer is not cut into like the traditional old man, you know, schnauzer cut. All right, that's what it's called. I always call it the grumpy old man look, where they have like the bushy eyebrows and their beards, right? He's like, unlike most schnauzers, because schnauzers are obviously a blend of the wire-haired terrier, and I forget what the other dog is. So the fur is usually pretty coarse, but he has really super supple fur, like it's really supple. And so my kids love when he's grown out because he's really curly, but his hair is really soft, his fur. And so he looks at me like, what kind of terrier is that? Because, you know, obviously they can tell he's a terrier. Because, of, you know, schnauzers are in the terrier breed, but they look and like, what kind of terrier is it? I'm like, it's a schnauzer. And they're like, well, I thought maybe he was part schnauzer. I'm like, yeah, I just don't shape him. So he's like this big, like, curly fluff ball. So I get that a lot with my dog.
How old's your dog now?
What was that?
How old is your dog now?
He is 5 1/2 now. Actually, and he's now just starting to get some gray in his black fur because he's a pure black schnauzer, too, which is also what makes him hard to identify.
Yeah, sounds beautiful, though.
Yeah,
you have to send
is.
Me a picture.
I will. I'll take a picture and send it to you. He's pretty cute. He corrects me. And he thinks he's a cat because he perches on the back of our sofa in our living room. He climbs literally on the back and lays across it like a cat does. And we're like, you're a dog. Yeah, I'm like, you're a very confused animal, obviously. You don't know what you are. It's okay. Well, I want to talk about your book a little bit, which is such an... I mean, I know we've talked a little bit because it's based off your 2 dogs and some of the experiences that you've had and, you know, the foster care. Now, what I love about it is, you know, besides the fact that it introduces kids to... you know, foster care and adopting an animal, or, you know, a lot of people view their animals, I mean, and especially kids, I mean, you know, young kids, when they grow up with a pet, you know, they look at them like their own friend, you know, their best friend. So I love the fact that in the story, you know, you flip back and forth between the 2 dogs, and you not only show the part of the story of trying to save, you know, this lost puppy, but you also go from the puppy's perspective of being scared and afraid. And I love that because kids can identify with that so easily. I don't know if you've ever lost your kid or like turn around for a second, your kid disappears, but you know, that's so, was a freaky thing to have happen as a parent. I know my youngest loves to do that. She likes to disappear behind racks all the time. And I'm panicked for like 2 seconds until
yeah,
she like
exactly.
laughs. So I love that you show both sides of the fence, you know, of that emotion, because kids can identify themselves, and it brings up just great talking points for parents or teachers, grandparents, you know, guardians, to talk about children, about, you know, which is what Mr. Pupples does. I mean, he stays in that one location. You know, he looks for his family, but then he doesn't go any further. He kind of, like, stays and waits. Was that kind of intentional, too, to kind of help bring in some of that kind of, or did that just naturally happen when you were writing?
No, that came about after it actually went to the editor. And the way I had written it was in the past tense. And she said, you know, move it into the present.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what came out of it, moving it into the present. Same story, it's just told as a present tense. And some of the things got moved around, and that was one of them. And that was a end result, I guess, of the change, which was a good result.
Yeah, it was a great result, because it's nice, because it helps. Yeah, and that's the one thing that I love about children's books, because even though children's books can teach on, you know, on one level, usually there's other hidden things that you can bring up, you know, that are happening with the characters. And the illustrations are beautiful. How much collaboration did you have with your illustrator on the artwork that came about? I mean, especially since these are based off your dogs. You know, I'm sure you wanted to try and get them to look as close to your dogs as possible.
That was a tough part. Not working with the illustrator, she was great. Amy was fantastic. I really enjoyed working with her. No, the tough part was they are our dogs, so therefore you want them to kind of look like the dogs, and you want the dog's color, and, you know, it made it difficult, actually. So I got more involved in it than I think I probably would have, and I think I gave more direction than I normally would have, but once she got that down, once she captured what I was looking for, then it was, you know, she just rolled with it. It was great. It was really great. And then, you know, we had some she would hit right away, illustration right away. Others, you know, we'd have to keep going back and forth until we were both happy with it.
Yeah. I mean, that is such a difficult part of doing picture books, too, because you have half the story told in picture and half the story told in the actual wording, you know.
Yes.
The text
yep.
of the
and
book.
And tying
so,
the two of them together.
Yeah, trying to find that blend is not easy, you know. And as an author, I mean, obviously as you're writing the story, you have it pictured in your head, but and you want to translate that onto paper, but, you know, you only can translate so much of that onto paper because you don't want to completely have it so spelled out that the reader's going, okay, you're not leaving anything for my own imagination to fill in. And so I'm sure they illustrated that part because they're trying to understand what you're seeing, but yet they're seeing something slightly different because, you know, as people, I mean, we all see the world slightly differently than each other.
Yes,
as much as we don't
very
think
true.
That, we do. So I can imagine.
Yeah, it was
that
interesting. Go ahead.
Now, you're saying you have a second and a third book. Are they based off your dogs as well, or are they completely different stories? Or
no, they're the dogs, the two dogs. One involving the beach, because we live. Well, in fact, we live on the Outer Banks is, and as they say, the tagline is, you know, life on a sandbar. And that's basically what we live on. It's between the sound and the ocean. And at one point of it, it's 30 miles out into the ocean, south of us, from the land to the ocean. So it's, and then in between is the sound.
Mm-hmm.
28 miles of sound, and then a mile or two wide. It's not a very wide island. So a lot of beach. So it's stories on the beach. I think the other one was going in the neighborhood, walking in the neighborhood, because of the things that are here, such as the Wright brothers, their memorial, the park, the national park is practically in our backyard. We walk by it, as a matter of fact, every morning.
I better never tell my dad that because he's a retired airline pilot. He'd be like, can you call him up so I can come out there and visit? You know how those aviation guys are. I grew up hearing all about planes, so I've heard all about the Wright brothers growing up. I didn't know that they had a memorial, though. I had no idea. I mean, it makes sense. it's a very prominent group in history. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So that's what those two books would entail. But there's so much history here that I, started going down that road. I haven't written anything, but thinking forward. And then, bringing that back to the children. And this is our population of this county, it's only like 35,000 people. But in the summertime, over the weeks between May and Memorial Day in September, it's 200,000 up. 200,000 people a week.
Wow.
it just booms. It's a very popular family vacation area.
Yeah, I've been to the East Coast, but I have not been to that section of the East Coast. I've been south of you and I've been north of you, but I've not been, what I consider like the middle section of the East Coast. I've been like down in the Florida, Georgia, all that kind of section, so like the actual deep south, and then I've been up into like the northern state. So I've somehow bypassed that whole area, which is really funny since my name being Virginia, you think I would actually like get to the state one day and actually like go walk around it since my name is based from there.
Yes,
but I haven't.
You have not.
And I have not, yes. My husband keeps telling me, and he wants to go because he's such a huge fan of history, and I know there is so much history in that section of the country. So I think that's great that you're going to tie that into what you're writing because, it's something you don't see happening a lot in books now for kids, especially where there's a lot of historical, information being shared with the youth, which, rhyming books are fun and great, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a fan of Dr. Seuss as well, but, I think it's great when books tie in some of our own culture and history and fun ways for the younger minds to grab onto.
Exactly. There's a, in fact, right around just about 25 minutes from us in Manio, the Roanoke Island, that's the first English settlement. And that was the play called The Lost Colony, which has been, been 70 years maybe that plays. More than 70 years, I think it's been performing every summer. And it's a colony that disappeared. They don't know what happened. They still don't know what happened to it.
Yeah. One thing, there's also a lot of reenactments that happen throughout the areas that you live, too, where they do a lot of the different reenactments from, historical, famous time periods. And obviously the Civil War.
The life-saving stations on the they were all up and down the coastline where the men used to go out and, it's called the Graveyard of the Atlantic. I've heard different stories, anywhere from 600 to 1,000 ships that have gone to the bottom of the ocean off this coast.
Wow.
And so they had the life-saving station set up to go out and at least save, men, passengers, whoever were on the boat, on the ships, and bring them into shore. And they have a drill, one of the life savings, there's a handful of them left, and the one in Hatteras, every Thursday during the season, they have a life saving drill there, which would be fascinating to write about that.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, I'm going to have us take a break really quick so I can go over some of the upcoming stuff with our listeners again. So for those who are just now tuning into the Writing Mama show here on the Feature World of Ink Network on Blog Talk Radio, Marcia Casper Cook will be on vacation. She is the host of A Good Story is a Good Story, which airs on Tuesday. So just be warned that between Thanksgiving to Christmas/Hanukkah season, she will be on vacation. She may do a show, a special show during that time, but right now that's tentative. So Tuesdays there will not be any Good Stories, a Good Story as of right now. And then R.J. Jeffries is also on vacation, who's the host of The Right Step. That's on Wednesdays. There is one show scheduled in December. I don't have the which Wednesday it is yet. But other than that, he will be on vacation. So is Cassandra Dane of The Cutting Edge and Willow Cross of The Paranormal Hour. They are both on vacation. Fran Lewis, on Thursdays, her show, Book Discussion, will be till the middle of December, and then she will be on vacation as well. The show this Thursday has been changed to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. If you want to tune in for Book Discussion with Fran Lewis, normally it airs at 4 p.m. Eastern, but this Thursday it will be 10 a.m. And then Vinit Pomerantz, his show, Any Which Way But Loose, they are doing a special Cyber Monday this Saturday, so they will have 35 authors on that show coming and discussing their books that are great gifts for the holiday season, and that will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Time this Saturday. And then, of course, you can always come to blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network and catch any of our shows as podcasts during our holiday break between Thanksgiving and Christmas/Hanukkah. And then also I have a sponsor for today's show, which is Scott Dreskull, and he is a published author from Coffeetown Press. And Coffeetown Press brings you his debut novel, Better You Go Home. It's about a Seattle man who visits the Czech Republic to find his half-sister and unwittingly uncovers family skeletons. There is urgency in his quest because Chico needs a kidney and he's hoping his sister could be a donor, but he doesn't have the right to ask her since they haven't seen each other in so many years. Better You Go Home was selected as a Forward Review's first book contest winner in March 2014. And you can find out more about him through coffeetownpress.com. And just a little bit about the author, Scott Dreskull. He is an award-winning instructor at the University of Washington, the state of Washington, and he is a professional teacher and continuing education teacher as well for the University of Washington. And he has classes, if you live out in that area, starting January 2015. You just have to go to C as in Paul, C as in Cat, E as in Edward, .uw.edu to find his course. So we thank our sponsors for today's show, and we are going to return back to our guest, which is Richard McEwen, who has a debut children's book called The Adventures of Sir Buddy and Mr. Puddles, The Rescue. So back to you, Richard. I know we were talking a little about the history, about where you live and some of the books that, you know, that you're working on. You have two other books after this one that you're working on to have get published in the future. Are you ever thinking about, because I know you'd mentioned, you know, writing about some of the history about where you live. I mean, is that something you might think you might eventually do, is break out more into more of a historical type novel writing, or do you think you're going to stick more in the children's picture book writing, or you're kind of open to whatever happens?
Probably stay in the children's unless, you know, something transpires. Unless something changes, and then I'll just go with that. But at this point, I think I'll just stay with the kids, because I really enjoyed this. Not that I wouldn't enjoy writing something else. In fact, years ago, when I used to travel on the road selling women's sportswear, I, in my head, over a period of weeks, I developed a book, but then never did anything with it. So... And I'm at this point, I really don't want to go back and revisit that. So I like this. This feels comfortable. And plus, you know, with grandchildren, it's little bit of an impetus to keep going in this vein.
Are your grandkids excited to say Grump is an author? I mean, most kids usually get pretty excited about stuff like that. Have they been probably your biggest supporters through this process?
Well, I had gotten the first proof of the cover, a PDF version of it. So I printed it out and put it on the – oh, actually, they sent it to me, the actual size. So I took it and put it around a copy of a book that a friend of mine here had written, which is done through Halo also, and wrapped it. And my little two-year-old grandson came in maybe a couple days later, and he looked at it, and he said, "Oh, Pop, let's read about the doggies." I said, "Well, unfortunately, Turner, that is just the cover." But he was all ready to go. So that was good. My first, you know, first customer, shall we say, first child to see anything of the book. He was excited about it. And then his father read the book the other day to Turner's sister. And I have not talked. I don't know what her reaction was to it. I haven't talked to him yet.
Have you visited any schools yet? I mean, because I know the book isn't releasing till the end of this month, correct? The end of November is when it releases? Like the actual
correct.
Print?
Hopefully, yes. Yep. That's what I'm planning to do since this book is, you know, based around, let's say, at least introducing to fostering and rescuing. I went to the local SPCA and talked to the director there and told him, gave him a copy of the book, a PDF copy, and said, "Read this over and see what you think." I said, I wanted to, you know, do readings in school. And would you be willing to partner with me? I mean, I hardly got it out of my mouth. He said, "Absolutely." So that's a good partnership to go in and, you know, introduce them to the book and so forth. But then let the SPCA come in, and I actually had a fostering program. He said yes, but he said it's small. We really need to build it. So. Maybe this will help.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a great idea. And I was, as you were talking about that, you know, and how you, you know, reached out to them and talked about partnership, because, just this past Saturday when I was out with my girls, you know, obviously it was Saturday, so we're out doing our typical shopping weekend, and our local Petco, we have a group called PAWS, and it's an acronym, and I have no idea what it stands for. I know obviously the P starts with pet. It's like pet adoption. Probably Pet Adoption Washington City. Probably what it is, because our pet goes out in Washington City. Anyways, and so they had their little thing set up at the Petco there that it was Adoption Day. And as you were talking about, I was thinking, how fun would that have been to have someone like you there to read to the kids, which helps draw, of course, you know, parents and even more to, like, look at all the animals, right? But have, like, a story time there about, you know, rescue at the same time.
Yeah.
But, you know,
perfect.
It does help bring awareness,
yeah.
You know. Do you do any volunteer? I mean, because I know you've been a part of rescue, but do you do any volunteering at, like, any of, like, the shelters or anything like that? Or do you guys not have that kind of thing? Because, I mean, that's one question. When we used to run, we used to have a magazine called Stories for Children magazine that came out monthly. And we used to get emails sometimes from parents asking about, you know, have we ever heard about volunteer opportunities? And so I'm just curious, I mean, have you done any volunteering? Do you have any tips on how people could help volunteer and help with animal rescue? Because, you know, I know there's people who are interested, but they only see, you know, of course, obviously on TV, the commercial with Sarah McLachlan. I know, isn't that like the AC something, you know, commercial. But most people don't know how to get involved beyond, okay, they want me to send money in, you know. But I know there's other ways. So would you love, I would love for you to share some of your information on how people can get involved.
I'm not sure how they do it here. I know it's got to be similar, actually. But in Virginia, you can go to, the best thing to do is to go to the SPCA and say that you are interested in fostering. And what that really means is that when they pick up a stray, they will, they first check it out, make sure it's healthy, bring it to the vets. And they will then ask you, basically foster, babysit this dog. And that's what you do until they find a home for it. Now, you also can be proactive and help find a home for it. You may know somebody who's looking for a dog. In this particular, dog that you're fostering fits what they're looking for. It's not an involved thing. It's a commitment to, for the length of time that you keep the dog. Sometimes it can be a few days or sometimes it can be a few weeks. But as I said before, we have two dogs and a cat, and we never had an issue with any altercations with either one, with the dogs or the cat.
That's good. Well, and I was thinking this might even, for parents who have kids, that they're not sure, how well their children would do with, a full-time commitment of having an actual family pet. I kind of think this might even be a way to kind of let us, take care of this animal, until they, and a great way for, parents to kind of still introduce their children into what it takes to have a pet too, by fostering. Because, have you ever fostered where it's been more than a year of fostering? Have you ever had any animals that long? Because I would assume they try and find them a home as fast as possible.
Yeah, they do. Yep. That's the main goal. No. I think the longest, and I have to double check with my wife, but I think the longest was a month, maybe. Month, 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But they mostly not there that long. They work very, very diligently to place the animals, cats and dogs. And one way is advertising in the newspaper. And, of course, they always put a cute picture in. An adorable picture, which draws people in.
Yeah. And have you ever been to that site called Pet Finder? I've been on there. And we actually had found, which she's now passed away, but my son, who's off in college, we had a cat, and her name was Speed Bump. That we ended up adopting, but we found her through a site called Pet Finder.
Are you familiar with? Yep, I have been on that site.
You have been? No, I'm just kind of curious, are there other sites kind of like that? For those who maybe don't get their local paper that they, that you know of that can help people, or is Pet Finder pretty much the biggest one?
I think Pet Finder is the biggest one. I'm trying to think, I came across one. Let's see it here. I don't know where I wrote that down. But you've come across another one, another site. Pet Finder is an excellent site for that. And then you also can go in on, depending upon, your local SPCA or Animal Welfare League or whatever it is, you can go on their site locally. And see what they have, to see what they have for adoption.
Right. Now, what would be your, suggestions? And I only ask this because I know you've kind of been involved in some of this, and it's good to hear it from somebody who's, been a part of this kind of thing. Because, I know sometimes people have to relocate because of jobs or, heaven forbid, their marriage is splitting up or whatever, and they have a pet and they can't take the pet with them. What would be, instead of, turning them loose on the street or sending them off to the pound where if they don't find a home in 90 days, that's it. what would be some of your suggestions for those kind of situations for people? And trust me, I know I remember being a kid and having two dogs, having that exact thing happen in my family, which was so sad. I cried.
Yeah.
We dropped them off.
Yep, that is sad. That's very sad. I guess the best thing is to look for, like you were talking about, the ones who find homes no matter what. They do not euthanize the animals. Like the Animal Welfare League, and I know they're in different cities, they do not. They always find a home. And I'm trying to think, but I guess that's the best way is locally do that. And I don't see why you couldn't use Pet Finder. The people who own the animal, own the dog or the cat. I mean, that's what it's for, right?
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, it's sad when that happens. You know, people are like, oh, well, you know, we can't take the, you know, we have to downsize, we're losing our home, whatever. And now we have to move somewhere and we can't have animals. And, like,
right.
I mean, that's what happened.
Right.
That's what happened to the cat that we ended up taking. The family's house ended up foreclosing, and I don't know where they went. But obviously they couldn't bring the cat, so they just left it behind. And it was just the saddest thing. And it ended up showing up at our house with, it looked like, we're not sure if a kite, because where we live, we're butted up against some government land, BLM land, and so we're not sure if, like, a hunter shot it that was out on the land, because they go out there and they hunt the rabbits, because there's a lot of rabbits out in those lands, so they let the hunters go out there every so often and help keep the rabbit population down, and shot the cat by accident, or if it just got in a really nasty fight, but, like, a huge chunk was, I mean, you could actually see its muscle. And one of its legs, how much was missing. And it was, you could feel its ribs. And we're like, oh, my gosh, this poor creature. And so it was, like, huddled in our garage. And that's how we ended up inheriting it, because we kept going, you know, why didn't, you know, is this so-and-so's cat? Because it took us a while to even recognize the cat. And then when we finally got it all cleaned up and took it into the vet and realized, yes, it was the cat we thought it was. But, and here's another question for you. Are your dogs microchipped? Because I know that's a huge thing, too, for people who, trust me, I know my schnauzer has done this before, has taken off and disappears for 24 hours. Would you encourage people to get their dogs microchipped?
Yes, I would. Yep.
Okay.
I definitely would. Ours are not microchipped. But, absolutely. In fact, there was just a story somebody was telling me the other day about a man who, in Boston, their dog had run away or been, you know, stolen. And that, I think it was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up driving to Atlanta, this is after 8 years of a lost dog, to pick up his dog. The dog was microchipped. And they had never, no one had ever run it. And it had to go to a vet, and the vet ran it. And said, this dog, you know, does not belong to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got his dog back after 8 years.
Yeah, see, because I have a debate about microchipping my dog. I'm like, but, you know, how do they really get, that's why I was wondering, like, do the vets really run that? I mean, because that's the only way you would think that they would even find, or, you know, I'm sure if they show up in the shelter, that would be one of the first things that they would look for, to see if, you know, feel for the microchip. But, and I'm like, what happens if someone takes your dog, though? You know, and is the vet going to really run it? So that's good to hear, because I know that's something that's, you know, people are like, is that really an investment I want to put into my animal? And I was lucky our dog didn't get too many. I think he got about 10 miles away from our house. So he was still in our county. And I was pregnant at the time, and I was, so, which is probably worse because I was pregnant, so I was even more emotionally distraught probably from it. But, I mean, it's like losing your kid.
Absolutely. They're definitely a part of the family. They really are.
Well, I would love for you, Richard, to share, you know, where people can learn more about you, find your book. I know you have a website that's supposed to be coming live soon.
Yes, if you want me, I can give you that.
Yes.
So when it does come live. It's www.2twodogs.com.
How cute. That's such a cute one. Well, it's been great having you. And, of course, they can go to Halo Publishing. I think they go by,
yes.
I think it's halopublishing.com. I think it's the whole thing. I know it's Halo Publishing International is the company, but I think halopublishing.com is the actual website.
Yeah, it is.
They can,
yeah, it's halopublishing.com.
Yeah,
and they do have the book. I mean, you can order it. It will not be shipped right away, obviously. It'll probably take about maybe 3 weeks from now before it'll be shipped out, but it would be before Christmas. And Amazon does show both books. They have the Kindle version, which you can order now. And they do show the hardcover, but of course it's not available yet, so they are not selling it. But that
that they don't have it where they can do pre-orders?
No, they said they had on there that was not available.
Oh, okay. I know sometimes they'll do pre-orders. Maybe they're waiting until it gets a little bit closer. Because I know sometimes they do
that.
I'm
going to find out about that then. Yeah.
Okay, but if they want to pre-order.
Halo.
Yeah, Halo, they can pre-order it for sure from Halo. And then, of course, we have your virtual tour that you're doing, which is at worldofinknetwork.com/. And it's Richard Dash, and then it's MCEWAN is what they would type in to find all the different stops that you'll have going on. And then are you on Facebook or Twitter yet, or none of the social media?
Yes, I'm on Facebook, and I'm developing a business page on Facebook.
So do they type in the title of the book or your name? How would they find you on Facebook?
My name at
your
this
name.
Point.
Okay.
Until I get the because it will be, Facebook / Two Dogs Tales once I get it up and running.
I just love that. That's such a cute little name. It's perfect, obviously, because it's about two dogs.
I was surprised it was available.
Yeah, I know. I mean, usually cute names like that go pretty fast in the cyber world.
Yep.
They get snatched up. So I understand.
One more thing I was going to say is that out of this also, out of the book, is that it also not only teaches children how to care for pets, they also learn from that, from caring for pets, they also learn how to care for others. To care for people. I think it's
right.
A great foundation for that.
And of course, I how important family is. Even though it's an animal family, I mean, it still shows that compassion for kids to learn. And that's so important. I know, which is totally, off topic of rescuing animals and kids' books, but the reason why I'm bringing it up is because of the compassion part. A lot of inmates, when they are the ones that they feel they can rehabilitate, they usually give them a rescue animal to care for, to help them get compassion back in their lives from being in, obviously, the criminal system. So, animals, I hear all the time from people that when you have animals, it doesn't matter if it's a dog, cat, horse, rabbit, whatever, that when you own a pet, you extend your life long. You end up extending your life capacity too, because they bring the compassion and they help lower anxiety. They do a lot for us as humans.
They do.
So,
yes, they do. But you mentioned prisoners. My wife. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, what were you going to say?
My wife worked in a Virginia prison for over 9 years, substance abuse counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And both of our dogs are therapy dogs, so she would bring them to her, with her to the prison, usually one at a time. And the men just absolutely love those dogs. And they were really good with the guys. I mean, it really helped in her, you know, classes and her groups.
Right. Well, that's great. So there's another book idea. Writing about therapy dogs.
There you go.
That'd be a really good one, too. I mean, you've got a lot you can come up with in your little furry critter world. Well, it's been great having you on here, Richard, and talking about writing, talking about your book, talking about, you know, animals and how important they are, because I think, you know, that's one thing, you know, and I know there's a lot of commercials that they talk about that, you know, they're these loving creatures that don't have a voice because they can't, you know, obviously communicate with us beyond, you know, the physical showing of their love and or fear or whatever. So I hope those that listen to today's show, if they're not animal lovers, at least have, you know, can see what animals can do in people's lives, even if they're not fond of critters in theirs.
They have a profound effect. They definitely do.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's why you don't just have humans running the planet, because it's that balance. We all need each other. They need us and we need them, and I think it helps keep it kind of balanced in this world. But I love your books, and I'm definitely looking forward to when you come up with, you know, your other stories, getting them published about your...
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been great.
Well, it's been great, and I'm looking forward to your tour and working with you through that and reading the different things that come up and reviews. I enjoyed reading the book, so, you know, and I know you've had, I think, one other review through Irene Rose that I found when I was kind of just searching online to see what, you know, what has been done so far with the book, or, you know, and just kind of seeing what's going on. So I'm looking forward to seeing what other people think of it, because I just think there's a lot of different lessons in there for kids, you know, that they can learn from. So I think you're on a great path as a writer for the kids out there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No. You have a good rest of the week, and thanks for coming on today's
show.
All
right, you too, Virginia. Yep. And come to North Carolina.
I will. I need to get out there. Eventually I do. I want to do a trip with my kids and do the whole historical road trip. It's my goal.
And your husband will be leading that, right? Since he's a historical buff.
Yeah. I think it's an important thing. You know, and I love the fact that you're going to be doing that with one of your books, you know, because it doesn't seem like kids get focused on that enough anymore.
No, they don't. They don't.
Oh. Well, thank you again, and we look forward to...
You are welcome.
...to staying in touch and watching what happens with your career, because we love watching, like I said, new emerging children's writers, because there isn't enough of them out there.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. And then I just want to let our listeners know really quick, one more time as we come to the end of our show, what we have going on here at the World of Ink Network. Tuesdays, we have A Good Story is a Good Story with host Marcia Casper Cook. She will be on vacation through Thanksgiving to Christmas, Hanukkah. So just be aware that those shows will not be airing on Tuesdays, but you can catch her previous shows as podcasts at blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network, along with Cassandra Dane, who's the host of The Cutting Edge, and Willow Cross, who is the host of The Paranormal Hour, and then RJ Jeffries, who is the host of The Right Step, because all of those guys will be on vacation through the holiday season. Fran Lewis will still be doing her shows on Thursday, the book discussion show. This coming Thursday, the show time will be at 10 a.m. Eastern time versus the normal 4 p.m. Eastern time. So if you are a fan of book discussion with Fran Lewis, you'll want to tune in this Thursday at 10 a.m. She will have a few authors on talking about adventure crime-type novel books, so definitely tune into that show if that is your genre of reading. And then, of course, Bennett Pomerantz will be still doing his shows every other Saturday, which is Any Which Way But Loose, this coming Saturday, it will be a special World of Ink show. It will be a basically an early show to the Cyber Monday that we usually do here on World of Ink. So that will air on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time this coming Saturday. There are 35 authors who will be sharing about their books and why they feel they are great holiday gifts for this time of year. And then also Coffee Town Press brings you Scott Driscoll's debut novel, Better You Go Home, which is about a Seattle man who visits the Czech Republic to find his half-sister and unwittingly uncovers family skeletons. There is urgency in this quest. Chico needs a kidney. His sister could be a donor, but he does not have the right to ask that of her when so much has already been taken from the family already. Better You Go Home was selected as the Forward Review's first book contest winner in March 2014. Author Scott Driscoll is an award-winning instructor at the University of Washington, professional and continuing education department. Those who live in the state of Washington and are near the University of Washington, he does teach a fiction writing class, which opens January 2015. You can just go to their website to find out more about the class and to sign up. So thank you to Scott Driscoll and Coffee Town Press for your sponsorship here of the World of Ink Network. We thank all of you for listening to us each week on blogtalkradio.com/World of Ink Network. You can catch any of our shows that we have aired previously as podcasts. And, of course, Blog Talk Radio does randomly select different shows as a featured show. We do thank Blog Talk Radio for making us a featured network. And we hope you all have a safe holiday holidays coming up, because Thanksgiving is in a little over a week. So hope you all have a safe Thanksgiving and safe travel. Bye-bye.